So as said by Nagarjuna, it is root wisdom that through seeing the cessation of the contaminated karma and their respective origin, the delusions. So that is the state of cessation, and that is actually derived through the wisdom. That is derived through the wisdom which understands the concept of selflessness. And then it also says that this actually stanza from Root Wisdom clearly says that the understanding of selflessness or emptiness is indispensably required for someone. Or for someone who is desirous of achieving the state of cessation of contaminated actions and delusions. So, and then it also says that by seeing the absence of inherent mode with the self and those things which are possessed by the self, you can alleviate yourself from samsara. And then it also speaks of the Lama Nagarjuna also speaks about how the sentient beings they are being trapped in samsara. So he said that first, that is the ignorance which thinks or which mistakenly imagines the existence of inherent mode over all things and events, and because of that, the derivative delusions arise, and which in turn gives rise to the contaminated actions, which in turn then gives rise to all the shapes of sufferings. So this being the case, then in order to kind of free yourself from this kind of process of taking birth in samsara, so it is said by Aryadeva, the disciple of Nagarjuna, in his text called the 400th stanza, that all the delusions, they are somehow connected with the ignorance grasping at the inherent mode. So just as all the sense powers, they are somehow connected to the bodily sense organ. Likewise, all of the delusions, they are also connected to the self-grasping ignorance. And it further goes to say that if somebody can really eradicate this self-grasping mind, then all the other derivative delusions can be naturally ceased or subsided. And then it is because of this that the Aryadeva says that you should be very committed to this teaching on the dependent origination and emptiness. So then again, you have to know what this teaching of emptiness is, what this emptiness is. So then again, as said by Nagarjuna in his text on the root wisdom, so there in root wisdom, Nagarjuna first of all explains the concept of dependent origination. Dependent origination, which has the implication that nothing exists independently. So then he says that there is nothing which is not dependent origination. So when you say something is dependent origination, not independently arising, this means that it should be mere designated. Its arisal should be mere designated and mere origination by way of dependence on something else, not something independent. So that absence of independence of things and events is called emptiness. So here, Whereas if you examine as to how things and events appear to our ordinary perception, we see that they appear as intrinsically existent. So because that everything exists by way of dependent origination, it then tells us that nothing exists independently. So that absence of independent existence is called the emptiness of So then, in the Madhyamika literature, you'll find a mention of how they the mind of reification arises out of the self-grasping mind, the mind to which grasps at inherent existence. So, as I said earlier, there's one scientist who said that the manner in which we arise, the deluded or delusions like attachment and aversion, so that is simple. First of all, that is done by way of reifying some kind of characteristics, for example, characteristics of attractiveness or characteristics of the ugliness, whatever, on top of that object. And then accordingly, then the person tends to arise attachment or arise aversion towards that object. And as such, even scientifically, it is kind of said that these negative emotions that are rooted to some sense of reification or exaggeration over the reality of that object. So if you can really reflect well, you can quite be sure or confident that indeed those sense of negative emotions, they arise because of those reified state. So, and whereas when we speak about the dependent origination, we are not at all rejecting the mere existence of that thing. So things do exist. The object of attachment, the object of aversion, and all these things do exist, but they don't exist the way they appear to our ordinary perception as something very concrete, something very intrinsic. So if you're well aware of this fact, then we can easily comprehend that these negative emotions, indeed, they are mistaken by nature in terms of their apprehension of true existence. And then on top of understanding that these negative emotions, they are actually grounded on a mistaken mind, which apprehends things to exist inherently or intrinsically or independently. On top of understanding that, you should also understand that those virtuous or those positive emotions, they have a very firm basis upon which they are based upon. So actually that basis is the luminous state of the mind. So that luminous state of the mind is something which is very constant and pervasive. So then through actually understanding these two factors or these two realities, that are basis of the virtuous qualities, it is something very stable, and also that these virtuous emotions, they are rooted to valid cognitions and not something on a negative or distorted emotion or distorted thoughts. As such, through these two reasonings, we can well entail or understand that the mind can be actually improved, the virtuous thoughts can be improved indefinitely. So in the Sakya tradition, there is mention of four different alliances or four different valid agents. So these four valid agents or factors are the valid scripture or the valid words of the Buddha and the valid commentary by the later scholars and the valid guru and the valid experience. So in terms of the evolution, so the first, there should be the valid scriptural source from the Buddha, and then from that arises the valid commentary by the later scholars. And then because of, by dependence on these two sources, so in the Sakya tradition, there's a mention of the four factors or four agents. The valid agent of scriptural source, valid agent of commentary, valid agent of guru or teacher, valid agent of experience. So in terms of the evolution, first should be the scriptural, the order that I've mentioned here is the order of the evolution. And in terms of the way the practitioner actually experiences that, it should be the opposite, reverse way. First experience, then the valid lama, then the valid commentary, and then the valid the scriptural sources. Because when you gain some kind of experience over practicing those instructions, then you realize that, oh, that instruction, that the one who gave these instructions is something very valid or reliable. So that is the valid lama. And then when you actually examine as to what really led that lama accomplish such greatly, then you see that he has actually dependent on those various commentaries by great masters like Nagarjuna and so forth. And then you see the validity of the commentary. And then again, these commentaries are actually the commentary of the scriptural sources of the Buddha. So then you gain confidence in the scriptural sources of the Buddha. So, and in this relation, when we speak about the experience, I normally classify that into two, kind of more advanced level of experience and the more kind of grosser level of experience. So the advanced level experience could comprise of having a kind of authentic experience of emptiness or a genuine experience of bodhicitta or a very advanced level of a single point meditation or clairvoyance and so forth. So those advanced experiences, so for the time being we don't have those. And then in terms of the if you think about, for example, the bodhicitta, so when you have that kind of experience, it is even at the level of mere emulation or imitation, so we see that it is so powerful when you feel stressful or when you feel so overwhelmed by kind of sadness and these things. No sooner you reflect on bodhicitta, it should really console you so much. And again, when you feel so arrogant or so conceited, again when you reflect on bodhicitta, it will just calm down your mind. So I just feel like telling you a story or account. The senior tutor of His Holiness was in Lhasa.